Gosh, so happy to be here. Shayla, thank you. Shayla was talking about how far like I've come, and it's not me at all. It's just it's what Jesus has done in me. Amen, amen. So never think that you can't do something. I didn't know God until I was 19, and like that. It seems like a young age, but I'm only 25 now. I'm just 25. You're young and but I mean, people talk about how they want things in the now, and they want to get promoted right now, and that's not how life works. That's not how God works. God works to work. He has his own time schedule. Anybody know that? Is anybody old enough to know that God has his own time frame? God does not work in our time. God doesn't work in weeks or months or years. He works when he wants to. He works when he knows. The Bible says that God has, I want to say, perfect timing. Perfect timing. And imagine if somebody was to jump into ministry too early, then it would actually hinder them. The Bible says it would be better that they wait. Everyone says that they wait. Awesome. I just want to welcome everybody to Sozo Youth. You guys picked. I'm not gonna say the best spot, but I know you guys are here for a reason. Amen. Amen. So we just want to welcome everyone. This place isn't for believers only. This place isn't for people who've been coming to church for years. This place is for everyone. Amen. Amen. Let me get Acts up on the screen. So this is just a welcoming scripture to let you guys know that no matter where you are in your walk with God, God is with you. Amen. Amen. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift, Gentiles was the words they used back in the day for people who didn't go to church. That'd be weird, huh? Imagine if we were like at the grocery store and we heard somebody cuss and they're like, "Oh, hello, Mr. Gentile, nice to meet you." That'd be weird. These Gentiles, the same gift that he gave us as being believers. Some of the religious leaders have come against somebody that was hanging out with people who don't go to church. So these religious leaders are like, "Why are you hanging out with them? That's weird." And like, "No, it's weird that you don't want to hang out with them." He says, "We've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who he gave us the same gift." Everyone say the same gift. It doesn't matter if you've known God for 5 years or if you've known God for 5 minutes. He's going to give you the same exact gift. Amen? Amen. And that is the gift of grace and mercy. Grace to forgive you and mercy to empower you to do amazing things for him. Amen? Amen. So, like 2 weeks ago, I blew out my tire. Very, very dumbly. Very stupidly. I'm driving. I had just gotten off my first day back at work in a while. I was sick, but now I'm not. Amen. So I was like kind of tired. I haven't been up on my feet for that many hours in a long time. So I was tired. I got home and they're like, "Oh, we don't have anything for dinner." I was like, "Oh, I don't want to leave, but I guess I'll go get meat for dinner." So I'm going, and then I'm coming up to this driveway, and this jogger he stops in the driveway, and he was going like this. He was like jogging in place, and I was like, "Oh, this guy I don't want to mess up this guy's groove." So I turned way too early. And I jumped the curb, and like, oh, if anybody's driven, like, they know, like, when they scratch their car, that's like, "Dang it." But, like, this hit was hard. Like, I was like, "I messed up something about my car. Like, I'm going to have to do something about it." So I go, I park, and it was on the driver's side. It was on the passenger side. I get out, and I hear this hissing coming from my tire that is so loud. I can hear it from my driver's side. And it's just like, tss. I was like, "Oh, that doesn't sound like something I can fix for $10. I get out, I walk around. There's this giant gash in my tire. I'm like, "No! I just want to go home. I wanted to go home. I wanted to eat. I wanted to say hi to my wife. I wanted to play video games. I wanted to rest. Why did this have to happen?" And so I'm like, "You know what? It's good. It's good. I'm fine. I go into my trunk, and like I have one of those like mesh crates that has everything you need to change a tire. I was like, "Cool. We got a donut. We got everything I need." And so as I'm getting ready, I'm like, "Wait. I don't have the wrench to take off the tire. I just want to go home." I want this to be over right now. How often can we get stuck in situations that we want to end now? Who's ever been in a situation they want ended right now? If you guys just bring like one or two situations to your mind, one, two, tops three. Don't do more than three. Bring three situations that you want to end now into your head. Somebody says easy. Goodness, I pray for you, my friend. So I had to call my father-in-law to come help me, because he was on his way from work, so he was like passing by anyways. He comes, he switches out the tire, and now I have the donut. And then I get in the car, and it says that the donut has low pressure. I get out, I look at the donut, I was like, I'm not even sure if I'm gonna get home with this donut. Donut's the layman's term for spare tire. I'm not even sure if I'm gonna get home with this spare tire. I get home, and then my wife, who's so graciously, she's like, do you want me to go with you to the tire shop? I was like, please. So we go to the tire shop, and the guy comes in, and he says, hey, how long have you had these tires? Like, I don't know, we bought the car with them. He's like, okay, your car's, like, when you buy a car from the lot, they give you some, like, default tires, and those tires usually last about 40,000. You guys are, like, almost close to 60, so you guys need to change your back tires, too. And I'm like, goodness gracious, I just wanted to go home. I want this to be done now. And now what's supposed to be a 10-minute drive to the grocery store has now turned into like a multi-hour ordeal. How many times have we been in situations that was supposed to be short but has turned into an ordeal? Amen. I mean, this was supposed to be a conversation between us, and now it's turned into a week-long argument, and now it's an ordeal. I want this to be over now. Goodness. I mean, like, it's to the point, like, I've gotten, like, so, like, in the now that it's to the point where I don't even buy anything off of Amazon unless it's primed. they make it so easy. Amazon knows what's up. Amazon makes it so easy. They're like, hey, there's a little switch right here. Just turn that on, and then you can use your Prime membership and get whatever you want in 2 days. It's crazy, 2 days. You used to have to, like, order milk in a week in advance if you wanted it. We live in like an Amazon Prime society. We live in like a microwave society, huh? I don't use microwaves anymore. I haven't used microwaves in probably like 5 years, 5-4 years. So I mean, I guess you guys are looking at like the pinnacle of patience up here. Just kidding. That was a joke. Relax. Somebody up here is going, aha, aha. Thank you. I'm trying to be funny. But we can want things to end now. So this guy comes up and he's like, oh, you don't only need to buy one tire, you need to buy all four. Or we recommend you buy all four. I was like, fine. And so like this whole ordeal, ever since I slammed into the curb, I've just been thinking about how dumb I am, and like and I'm going in my emotions, and I'm like, no, like, oh, why am I so dumb? This is lame. Like, I just wanted to be home. I just wanted this to be over. Like, and then I realized I was working in my emotions. The Bible says that his ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are better than our thoughts. How much better is his way? Like the first song said, how much better is God's way? So I wanted this to work out my way. I'm thinking, like, I'm just beating myself up about this. You've been driving for like over half a decade. How are you going to jump a curb randomly? And then God stopped me. He stopped me in my thought process. He grabbed my train of thought, he put it on some brakes, and then he said, I felt like he said, how much people wish they had a car? And I was like, yeah, you're right. I should just be so happy for my car that I have a car to even like mess up from time to time. How many times can we get mad at the exact thing that we were praying for? How many times can we focus on the blessing and forget about who gave it to us? Forget about what it is. I've heard people talk about how much money they have in their bank account, and I've heard people talk about arguments with their best friends, and it's like people are alone in this world. People don't even have a best friend. There's people with less money in their bank accounts than you. There's people with worse cars than you. There's people that had to ride their bike to work. There's people that had to ride their bike to the grocery store. So God stops me. He's like, hey, you have a car to even mess up. Relax. I was like, yeah, you're right. And then he's like, hey, and these four tires, like, you have enough money in your, you have more than enough money in your bank account to buy these four tires. I was like, oh, yeah, God, you're right. And so like, he stopped me. And today I ask everybody to maybe stop for a moment and realize what we have. Maybe the things that you guys are focusing on is the exact things that God wants to use to improve your lives. Let me get Genesis up there, or the next slide. So this so what's going on, I'm going to present to you guys, everyone say, two stories. That looks fancy, huh? Seasons. Anybody who's ever lived in LA all their lives is really confused right now. What is that thing at the top left? Why are they don't have leaves. Why are they white? That's called snow. Just kidding. I know, we're so blessed to be in LA where like it drops below like 60 degrees and everyone's like, it's so cold. I have family that lives in Missouri, like they're like it freezes so bad to the point in some places of America where like you can put your finger through your car because like it froze and like the metal corroded. You just put your finger through your car. They're like, yes. Like metal corrodes like crazy. And like we complain when it hits 55 degrees. So these are two stories in the Bible from somebody named Abram. Who's familiar with the song? Father Abraham had many sons. Man, we have some older. We have. thank you. It just turned into a sing along. We'll be here all week. We do karaoke Thursday nights. Just kidding. Everybody got really happy at the thought of karaoke. So he's not Father Abraham yet, though. He's still normal Abram. You're like, oh, why'd he change his name? We'll get to that. Slow down. Man, you guys are microwave society. So Abram has been wanting, everyone say, a son. And he's wanted this son for a really long time, and he wasn't getting it. So he goes, because his wife is very old. They thought she was barren. She might have been barren up to this point. We don't know. And God might have healed that. So he goes and he has a child with somebody that's not his wife. Everyone say, uh-oh. And so he has this child now. He doesn't know what he's gonna do. And he's honestly angry at God. And I love the transparency that this story presents. This story shows that it's okay to have emotions. The Bible even says, give your cares and worries to God. We can't have cares and worries if we don't have emotions, right? This story shows us that it's okay to not be okay. But at the end of the day, it's not okay to stay not okay. Okay? So Abram is having this argument with God. Everyone say argument. It's kind of weird, having an argument with the almighty being of the universe. This omnipotent being, and you're having an argument with him. Abram goes into this tent, and he's fighting with God, and he says, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? In this day and age, it was really, really important to have a son that you can leave everything to, or else you might as well have not. This story shows that if you didn't have a son, you might as well have had nothing. And so the Lord took Abram outside of the tent and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. He says, if you can. I like God's wording. God's funny. Amen? I had a conversation with somebody. I was like, do you think God has a sense of humor? And they snarkily replied, yeah, he made you. I was like, oh. And I was like, that's because I'm funny, huh? So yeah, gotcha. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. We'll pause that story. We'll come back to it. And this is a different story where the disciples were in a boat, and then they see a ghost outside on the water, and they start freaking out. They're like, oh my goodness, it's a ghost. Like, I can't imagine. It must have been like foggy or something, because I can't imagine Jesus on the water. Spoiler alert. I can't imagine like Jesus looking like a ghost. Ooh, the slab. Jesus, so they realize it's Jesus, and then Peter, one of the disciples. He's honestly my favorite disciple. Like, as bad as he messed up, like, he has some good redemption stories. And, I mean, like, Peter makes me feel good on my bad days, I guess you could say. And so Peter realizes it's Jesus. And he says, Jesus, if it's you, just say the word and I'll go to you. Like if Jesus can do that, then I want to do that. I heard it said that I refuse to drown in the waters that Jesus stands on. That is so powerful. Like, Jesus is walking on the water. And Jesus replies to him. He says, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked toward Jesus. Did you guys know that Peter, he gets out of the boat and he gets out of it confidently? I didn't realize this until I read the scripture for myself. He gets out of the boat and he's walking confidently. You know how I know he's walking confidently? It's because in the next scripture it says, but. And but is used as a pivotal point in a sentence. Yeah, I want to go to the store, but I hurt my leg, so I can't go. It's like a pivotal point. It's like, I wanted to do this, but. Anybody play basketball? You know what the pivot foot is? So if you have the ball and, like, someone's trying to get it from you, and you have the ball and someone's trying to get it from you, they can walk around because they don't have the ball. But you have the ball and you haven't, and you stopped. You can't walk with the ball, obviously, or else it'd be football. So you have the basketball, and he can walk around and try to grab it from you. So to get away from him, you can't run because you have to pivot. You have to keep one foot on the floor at all times. Yes. So he's trying to get the ball. You can pivot. So that's how I know this story has a pivotal section. He's walking like boldly towards God on this water, and then he pivots, but it stops. When he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink and cried out, "Save me, O Lord!" And Jesus picks him up out of the water, and takes him back to the boat. And I was like, God was telling me that there's a correlation between these stories. And I was like, what is it? So how I popped my tire and I wanted to get frustrated and I was beating myself up. And when God stopped me and said, these are blessings. Why are you so mad at them? And I was like, wow. All I have to do is focus on that which is good. The Bible says it repeatedly. Meditate on that which is good. Only say that which is good for the hearer to hear. And so I was like, that's it. I brought up earlier how we want everything now. I want a house now. I want my car now. I want to be able to drive now. If you're like not able to drive, I just want it all right now. God doesn't work like that. He works in the now. I mean, the Bible even says that, like, life is but a vapor, but the Bible is always talking about you having the ability to know that God works in seasons. So seasons have days, and God works every day, but God works in every day to make seasons. Amen? We see it day in, day out. We see the four seasons of the earth. The sun comes up, the sun comes down, the moon comes up, the moon comes down. God works in seasons. When I first started studying for the sermon, I was like, I got this awesome title. It's like, it's going to be punny and people are going to love it. And I have a video of like people jumping over hurdles. My first title for the sermon was going to be Getting Over Hurtles. Not hurdles, but hurt. Like, I'm so hurt, I want to get over this. And then God, like, he started showing me. He's like, it's not exactly how I work, Joaquin. Hurdles are like the things that people jump over in the races. So you jump, and you're done. And God's like, I don't really work like that all the time. There's a lot of the times I work in seasons where you can jump over a hurdle and you're done. He's like, that's not how life is supposed to be. Life is meant in seasons, right? So seasons are longer. They're more of like walks or hikes. And I was like, you're right. So we see God working in seasons when we want everything now. Maybe if we started looking at things in seasons, we can make more sense of things. I wanted this season of my flat tire to be over now. And then God slows it down. There's a story where these guys bring this woman who was caught in adultery to Jesus while he's giving a teaching. And it's a crazy story. They bring her to Jesus, and they're like, "Hey, she broke your law. Now we have to punish her. We have to stone her." And they come in and they're rushing. They're like, "Do it now! Do it now! Do it now! She's in trouble. We need to punish her now." And Jesus stops. And we see his posture change. He's standing up, he's giving a sermon, and then we see his posture and his emotions change. And as they come in rushing and they want things done now, he stops. And he slows everything down, and he kneels to the ground, and he starts writing stuff in the sand. And we don't know exactly what was written, but we know what was written was enough to get everybody else in the room to stop, to slow down. Who looks like they're more in control in that story? The people that brought the woman in, and threw her at the floor, at the foot of Jesus, and said, "Punish her." Or Jesus, who stopped and he had things done in seasons. Whatever he wrote was powerful enough to get everybody to realize that they had mistakes themselves. At the end of that story, he says, "He without sin cast the first stone." Man, I can't wait to get to heaven and ask Jesus what he wrote on the floor. But we know it's, the Bible includes everything for a purpose. And we don't know what it is, but we know that God wants us to slow down. God wants to be in control. Amen? Amen. I remember men would see my ring, and they're like, "Oh, you're married?" I'm like, "No, I'm actually engaged." And they're like, "How old are you?" I'm like, "Oh, 20, early 20s. And they're like, "Wow, why don't you live a little?" And I was like, "Living a little?" They're like, "Yeah, like spend some time on the fast lane, you know, live a little." I'm like, "Man, your version of living a little sounds like dying a lot." I mean, like their idea of the fast lane was just so weird, and like the media likes to put that out there. We see music videos with fast cars, right? No, except if you're watching maybe a country music video where they have a slow truck, but we see you see fast cars, and you see these guys having like bricks of cash for some reason. Like, why is that a thing? That doesn't even look cool. It just looks like, you should put that in the bank or something, sir. Mister. Never mind. I was gonna say some normal rapper names, but never mind. And they're like they have bricks of money, and they're standing in front of fast cars, and the doors open weird, and it's like, why? It's because they want to go fast. I think that people, they want to spend life in the fast lane so they never have to think about what their actions are actually doing to people. In the sense that people had brought up to me of being engaged, they're like, "Hey, live a little," as in go date some more. I mean, living life in the fast lane kind of sounds like leaving a string of broken hearts behind you and potentially contracting a disease and even potentially having, like, bringing a child into this world that you weren't planning on. And I was like, "Man, that fast lane doesn't sound like my thing." God doesn't work in fast lanes. God is more like driving the streets, going for a cruise on the streets, where you have stop signs, you have yellow signs, you have green, yellow signs, you have stop lights, you have stop signs, you have red lights, you have yellow lights, you have green lights, you have yields, where you're going and you're stopping every now and then. You're making sure, if I go, is it God's will? God, if you spend time in prayer, God will give you a green or red light. I mean, when was the last time you let God give you a red light on something? That preaches. That wasn't even me. When was the last time I let God give me a red light on something? Maybe you've been wanting it for so long and you want the green light now, but God has a red light in place. Maybe if you were to go into it, maybe if you were to ignore the red light, you would end up in a accident. Wow. And so God wants us to look somewhere in these seasons. And we see in these two stories a correlation of where these men are both looking at something. When he takes Abram out of his tent, the tent is a place where he was arguing with God for a while. And Abram is where he was in his emotions and where he had control. And he said, God, you didn't give me a son, so I had to go out and I had to get my own. You didn't give me my blessing, so I had to go out and get my own blessing, God. Where were you? Peter is in his boat, safety. And he says, God, if that's you, just say it and I'll go. And then God says, come. And then Peter steps out the boat. And fun fact is that Peter wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on God's word. He was walking on God's word. Sometimes we just need to wait for God's word. Amen? Amen. So both of these men are taken out of their place of comfort. They're both made uncomfortable so that way God can make them powerful. And it's God in these stories showing us where he wants us to look. Sometimes we can tell God, God, look what I don't have. And he takes us outside of our argument. He takes us outside of ourselves. He takes us outside of our own emotions. And he says, look up into the sky. He says, look up. We can tell God, look at what we don't have. And then God will say, look at what I gave you. Look at what I'm doing right now. If I laid out everything in front of you and said, this is what's going to happen, then you wouldn't have any faith. Have a little faith. Have a little patience. I had a conversation with somebody recently. And we were talking about things we wanted. And they're like, I got the sense that they wanted it sooner than later, which isn't a bad thing. It's like it's human nature to want things sooner than later. But it's not always like that. And so I brought up the story of how the Israelites had to walk around the walls of Jericho seven times, and that took a while. And did you know in that story that when they were walking around Jericho seven times, they didn't say a word? They didn't say anything. They kept their mouths shut. So I'm gonna say this, and you take it how you want it. I'm not your boss. I'm not your parents. But sometimes when we're walking in through a season, God wants us to look up and shut up. And it's powerful. There's a good place to be like that, because when you're looking up, you're looking up and you're looking at God. And then when you're not talking, you're letting God do the talking. Amen. Amen. The most powerful place you can be is at the end of yourself. So when you're both looking up and you're shutting up, that is all God. Then you're saying, God, you say it, and I'll go. God, I want out of this season now. God has us look up and shut up. And then we can look up and go through the season and say, like, God, like, this is, God, I can't believe we're doing this. Like, this is taking forever, God. Goodness, God, just get me out of this season now. We can't get out of a season more than we can ask God to end winter. Winter is going to take its course. Summer is going to take its course. Winter is going to end. Summer is going to come. Spring is going to come. Fall is going to come. Nothing is eternal except for God. Why are we looking at temporary situations instead of looking at eternal God? These seasons are going to end when they end. You trying your hardest, you shaking yourself, you yelling is not going to end the season any sooner. So I'll tell you guys how to get out of a season. Go ahead, Josh. We have to look up at God. Amen? He says, look up. He says, look up into the sky. Does anyone help me out? Just bring this stuff up here. God is speaking to somebody right now. He's talking to this, he's saying something to this, somebody that's listening to this right now, and they're saying, the season that you're in isn't forever. I am. He's saying, I know you want out of the season, but trust me, I'm going to get you out of the season. Joel talked last week about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were in the season of their lives where they had a choice to worship somebody other than God. But the amazing thing is they keep their eyes on God. And so they get thrown into a fiery furnace where they're supposed to die, but instead God shows up. At the most painful times, God shows up. In both of these stories, Abram in his tent yelling at God, Peter walking on the water, God was there every moment of those situations. God was there to get Peter out of the water. God was there to get Abram to look up to the stars. God is always there, guys. God will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter how things look, no matter how far it may look like God is, he's always right next to you. He's always right beside you. Amen? Amen. And we can, so let's say this cup of water, can everybody see it? Let's say this cup of water is us, and like sometimes things will come around. And whatever it is for you, you guys can make it personal for you. For me, it was the tire popping recently. I get the sense that somebody, I remember being in high school and seeing like couples like being around and I was like, I want that. I want to be like happy with my girlfriend. Like I want to have somebody to spend lunch with and like they post on Instagram like, oh, like right, goals and stuff like this. But you know what they don't post is that they don't post the heartbreak. I've been through heartbreak. Everybody, like, I'm pretty sure it's safe to say everybody has gone through some form of heartbreak. So it's not personal, it's just something that happens and no one posts about it. If someone starts going to the gym and they're like, yo, check this out. Like they worked for that. They didn't just wake up one day and have a six pack. They woke up day after day, and no one talks about the hardships. Maybe things are coming into your life and just like this die, they're starting to murk up your life. They're starting to maybe make things unclear. And life is just stirring you up, and it's like, God, how am I going to get through this? Where do I focus my attention? God, I don't know what's going to happen. Exactly. God doesn't always want us to know exactly what's going to happen. Sometimes God just wants us to look up towards him. God wants us to pay attention to him. Is there a mic stand I can borrow? I'm going to borrow this mic. Tyler, do you really use this thing, dude? You're tall. Like, I've never noticed how tall you are exactly. I have my own mic stand. It's a handsome one. Closer. Follow me. Not you. Church is fun, amen. And so life has stirred us up. Life has given us all these things that we don't have control over. And then God says, just look up at me. See the stars. See the heavens. Stop pointing it. Stop focusing on what you don't have and just look to me. And you'll have everything you need. God starts to look up. Abram looks up at the stars and starts to pay attention to God. And God starts pouring into his life. And he's saying, Jesus, I am yours. God, take this out of my life. God, I want this season to be done with. Your life is a little clearer. Did you know that the Bible says that he gives to your cup overflows? I mean, that is so powerful. That's just, it's like when you feel like you're full of regrets and doubts and sadness and depression, all you have to do is look up and see what you have. Maybe your home life isn't great. Maybe you're arguing with your parents too much, and at least you can be thankful for your parents. If you stop focusing on the negative and start turning your eyes towards the positive, God will start bringing things into your life, and your life will get better. You guys can hear the piano playing so softly in the background. And God says, stop. Stop trying so hard. Stop doing everything your way. Stop letting life stir you up. If I may pose a opinion that maybe it's not life. The Bible says that life and death has been set before you, so choose life. So if that holds true, then that must mean there's something other than life around us. There's some form of regret that someone's dealing with. There's some form of sadness that you're dealing with. God wants to say that you guys don't need that. You guys don't need to focus on that. I have given my son for you. I have everything under control. Just trust me. There's seasons that we need to go through. God has a purpose for you. God has plans for you, amen? These seasons are meant to empower us. The Bible says there's a season to refrain and a season to embrace. That scripture is talking about relationships, but I think we can always use scripture to apply to everything, amen? God, I want a husband now. I want a boyfriend now. I want a girlfriend now. Maybe now's not your time. God, I want my parents to stop fighting now. I want my home life to get better now. Let's realize that everything good comes from the Father of Lights. Everything good comes from God. So God doesn't make any of these bad things happen, but he can use these bad things. Peter was walking fine on the water until he saw how strong the winds were. Maybe there's some winds going on in your guys' lives right now. There's some waves that are churning. There's a storm that you feel like you've been in forever. God says, don't worry, I'm there. Jesus has been with you the entire time. God has been with you the entire time. You just weren't looking at him. And the second you start looking at him is when things are going to start changing. And it's funny because the events themselves or the circumstance or the storm might not change, but you will. Your mentality will change. People will say, oh, new year, new me. There's no difference between 2018 and 2019. The difference is the mentality. The difference is of what they're focusing on. The difference is the decisions that they're making. And today, church, we can make the decision to look up at God. We can take our eyes off the storm. We can take our eyes off the circumstances and watch those troubles. They won't disappear, but they'll get smaller. They'll become smaller because what you start focusing on is where you're going. When I was learning how to drive, I remember I had this really bad habit of, because when you change the lane, you're supposed to look over your shoulder and then change. And when I was driving, I had to correct myself, because every time I'd look over my shoulder, I'd start to drift into the lane, because that's just where I was looking that way. Where you're looking, guys, is where you're going. So look up at heaven, and you'll watch your life get better. watch God start to work. Go ahead and close your eyes right now. I asked you guys earlier to think about three things that you're maybe struggling with, or three things that you want to end now. They won't end immediately. The Christian life isn't an easy life, but it is a better life. If you guys want to start turning your attention to God, if you guys want to start looking up towards the heavens and count the stars, count the blessings. The stars have been there longer than we have. God's blessings have always been there. You guys, we just weren't looking at them. An amazing way to start paying attention to what God is doing is worshiping Him. If you guys have some situations in your lives right now that you want God to help you with, just make your ways to the front. If you guys want God to start working, just look up. Just look up towards me. God is saying, you're here today because I woke you up every day before today. God, I want this season to end now. God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to put up with this anymore. God, it sucks to go home. God, everybody else seems like they have things together. How come I don't? God, I thought once I became a Christian, I thought everything was going to get better. I thought everything was going to work out right now. God says, don't worry. God says, yes, I'm working. I'm working now. This storm that you're going through isn't everything. You guys don't have to look at the storm. We don't have to look at what life is giving us. We don't have to look at our situation and our circumstance and think that that's all I'm ever going to be. That's all I'm ever going to be. Everything that I've strived to be, everything that I've worked for is today. Look up. Look up to what God has done. Look up to the blessings that God has given you before and realize that He's going to keep blessing you. Everybody has somebody in their life that they've depended on at some point or another. The Bible says, if an earthly father can give good gifts, how much more am I, God of the universe, going to give to you? God's taken care of all of us up to this point, amen? What makes us think that God is going to keep working? The season that you're in is going to end. Don't worry. But God doesn't want you to go through the storm for no reason. God doesn't want you to go through the storm and suffer through it. God wants you to look up at Him and realize that this storm is ending and I'm going to come out better on the other side of this storm. This situation I'm going to end, God is going to use this. God is not a person that can be mocked. God says, I'm working in seasons. Allow this season to build you up. Allow this storm to make you a little stronger. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Just pay attention to me. I get this word picture of like a little kid who just took off his training wheels and things seem scary. His balance isn't there yet and he's shaky. When things get a little shaky, just realize God is doing some shaping. So the kid took off, the dad is taking off the training wheels off the bike and he's teaching the kid how to ride without training wheels. And he's unsure of himself and he's like, "Dad, I don't know if I can do it." "Son, yes you can. Daughter, yes you can. Keep your eyes on me. Don't worry about what's going on around you. You're gonna get through this. We're gonna get through this." If you guys could just give God the next couple minutes of right now. Just put your hands in front of you. Picture those situations that you want to end. Imagine them in your hands. If you were gonna get yourself out of the situation, you would have by now. But it's not always about us getting ourselves out of the situation. If God never had an opportunity to be God, then he couldn't. Then we would think that we had it all together. With your hands in front of you, picture these scenarios, picture these situations, picture the storm. Know that it's ending. Know that it's gonna end, but God doesn't want you to suffer through them. God doesn't want the storm to be the only thing that you think about. God doesn't want to keep you in the storm. God is gonna get you through the storm. So with your hands out, go ahead and give those situations to God. Pick your hands up right now. Feel the weight just lifted off of you. Feel the peace that God has to offer you. Look up. Go ahead and look up right now. Like, we have literal mini stars in the sanctuary to just kind of give a physical representation of what God has done. Imagine every one of these stars being a blessing. We can relate every one of these stars as something good that's happened to us. What makes us think that God's not going to add more stars to our day? What makes us think that God's not going to give a light at the end of the tunnel? In every situation, just know that God is there and that we get to rely on him.